Hello and welcome to
2 o'clock with Keller.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Hola.
Hello. Welcome. Another extra brew.
With our favourite guest back again.
Yes.
Kira.
Oh my god, Kira, what are you doing here?
No, it's me, George.
Hi, George. Thanks
welcome,
for joining
welcome.
Us again.
Thanks for letting me back.
Sure, it's like you never left.
Yeah. Just live in the Zoom call.
Yeah. But I think you're the perfect person to have on this to talk about unpopular film opinions with us.
Thank you.
Well, we're the little film trio, aren't we?
We are.
Although yeah. I do actually think I'm the weakest link in this film trio.
I can't remember what were the results of that quiz we did? That like 100 films quiz.
I feel like I probably came last because I was like, if this was TV shows, I would.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I would absolutely just sail through.
Yeah. I think I remember now.
I just don't think I'm not very experimental with my films.
That's
I
fair.
Kind of stick to the last 30 years and then.
I don't know. What genre wise, I think you watch pretty much every genre. Bar like a couple.
Yeah, but I don't branch out of the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't massively either, to be fair. I mean, it's just Ella who's seen every film ever.
Yeah, Ella, I was telling my mum.
There's so many
you were,
I have not seen.
The film queen.
But I think between the three of us, we've got a pretty good array of film, a pretty good store of film knowledge, you know?
Yeah. I wonder how much of that knowledge. Well, our opinions about it is unpopular, though.
Ooh, this will be interesting. We'll find out.
Yeah. Especially because we have very different opinions, anyway.
True.
Yeah.
Sounds correct. Sorry.
We actually need to be stopped.
Oh.
What unpopular film opinion should we start with?
Do you want to start with one of yours, George?
Sure, I'm happy to start. Now, this unpopular opinion is not, I'm not going to say it's the most nuanced, insightful, studied at film school for 3 years comment. However, I do think it's wildly unpopular.
Okay.
And that is, I like Pierce Brosnan's voice in Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah, that is unpopular.
You know what? I was given a real think to this. Every time I've mentioned this to someone, everyone's gone, you what? Are you actually insane? But let me English graduate this.
Okay.
So, first of all, I just like it. I think like it's just got like, it's a bit rough and ready, but I think it's got a lot of soul to it. However, let's do a character analysis. So Harry lives this quite like sheltered, like level life. Like it's not that crazy, but it's not like, it's not crazy good or crazy bad. He just exists, and his voice is very lovely and like whatever, it just is a lovely voice, but it's not the most like atmospheric out of this world voice, nor is it terrible. And then Bill is just this like wild lad, so like of course he can sing, because that's just like, oh, classic Bill, he can do everything. But then it's like Harry, not Harry, sorry. Oh my god, why have I forgotten his name?
Sam.
Sam, thank you. So Sam is meant to have this like fantastic, beautiful life. At least that's what Donna thinks. Like she thinks that he's gone off, he was having an affair, and he's gone back to his wife in England, and it's like that's just how it all has played out. But then he has this like very rustic natural voice that is, and I know this is very English graduate of me, but I just feel like it builds into his character. Like it's like perfect on the outside, but then the reality is different. And like it's not the most perfect voice, but I really like his performance, vocal performance in Mamma Mia.
Or even Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Yeah. I've always really liked it, and I've never
what about
understood why
SOS?
everyone. Oh, real goal. I've never understood why people like hate on it so much. Like I really don't think it's that bad.
I can't say I've ever kind of deeped it and analyzed it in the same way you have, but like that's a very compelling argument, and I fully get it.
Thank you.
But then I think when you compare him, I know we shouldn't really compare, but when you compare him to the rest of the cast and everything, and I know it's one of those musicals where it's not full of musical theatre trained people, blah blah, like that's the whole point of it. But also, I don't know, I just don't ever expect him to sing. And then he does, and then I just don't know. I think it kind of ruins a little bit of the vibe for me, because I feel like I'm slightly jolted out of like this wonderful Mamma Mia world by his voice.
But I understand that it's an unpopular opinion.
Well, that's the whole
Well,
point of this.
yeah, but you've actually now convinced me. I think a lot of the cast do have not the best voices. Now that I think about it, I'm like, do you know what? Colin Firth's not that great a singer. He's good. Like,
Is he? Oh, our last summer with his little high
like he's
bit.
cute, but I don't know, but then yeah, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, who's actually a good singer in it? Meryl Streep. But
But
yeah, now I think about it, I'm like, oh,
I feel like at the core of the
Morley
story, it's
Sweet.
not who can sing well, is it?
No. Yeah. Lily James is a really good singer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know Amanda Seyfried did like Les Mis, so she has been in more than one musical.
But didn't she get hate for Les Mis because people were saying that her voice wasn't strong enough for it? I thought she sounded good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
she's just got a very high pitched voice, so it's
Yeah.
quite
Oh, tell
difficult.
me about it. Yeah, I cannot sing along to her version of Thank You for the Music in the Shower. So difficult.
Yeah, that
Goes
is like,
way too high.
yeah,
Yeah.
impossible. But yeah, there's my first unpopular opinion.
Oh, wonder what else is to come.
Who would like to go next?
Ella.
Okay. This is one of those where I think it's like very kind of 50-50 whether people agree or don't agree. But I would say I think that a film doesn't have to make sense or tie everything together to be a good film. I love an ambiguous film. I love a film that just it doesn't answer everything for you. I think, yeah, okay, obviously it is nice when you watch your film and it's all kind of like neatly tied together and then it all kind of makes sense. But I also completely love a film that you finish watching it and you're like, what does that mean? What was it trying to say? And then the more you think about it, or when you then watch it again, you kind of can pick up on all the tiny little aspects of it.
Do you have specific examples you've got in mind?
I should have come up with examples, but I can't think off the top of my head. I mean, obviously there are times when that is quite unsatisfying, but I think there's also a lot of times where I'm very okay with it.
I think if
There's a
it's
go on.
intentional, if the writer director has intended for that to be the ending, for it to have the
Yes.
ambiguity, then it works. But if it's the result of poor writing,
Yes.
or it's almost like the creator has forgotten about storylines, then that is like really
Yeah.
poor.
And I
But
think you can quite easily tell the difference between the two.
I think if you're able to work it out, like work out what you need to from it, then it's fine. But I hate it when, I don't mind when they're like, oh, it's up to you what happens. But I hate it when like it just doesn't make sense at all. And there's like no explanation. Do you know what I mean?
See,
Like, it really bothers me.
I kind of love it sometimes with that because it feels like it becomes like an earworm of a film that you're just kind of reminded of in question. Because there's one film called I'm Thinking of Ending Things with Jesse Buckley and what's his face? I can't remember his name. the one who's married to Kirsten Dunst. I think he's also called Jesse. Anyway, the two of them. And that's a really weird film that makes no sense, but I don't think it's meant to. And it's really enjoyable and interesting.
It's in the same vein of like books that are like 300 pages of like vibes and no storyline. Like, so for some people, that is like the most irritating thing ever. But for others, it like opens up a whole world of possibilities that you can get from this book world.
Exactly, it's almost like the film version of Litvic.
I'm trying to think, was did the Joker finish in quite an ambiguous way?
I think, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I think potentially, yes, it definitely leaves it very kind of very open, very,
Does I'm like,
don't
did
really know what he's
he
going to do next or what kind of will
Yeah,
happen.
like, is he still in society at the end of the film? I can't remember.
It's been too long since I've
But
seen
because
it.
it's kind of, it's his origin. You know, like, that Batman, like, that stuff is coming. But then it's not quite like what you're talking about, but it ends in that open-ended way. It's the only film I can think of on the top of my head that's semi what you mean.
I really should have come up with some examples
So
beforehand of films that are like that.
I'm thinking of like Christopher Nolan films, and when we did our episode on Tenet, and it just does not make sense. I know that he makes confusing films, but
Yeah,
there are
because
just
even
some
if you.
things I was like, you need to explain that though.
Yeah, because it's like if you think of the ending of Inception, I think that's probably quite a key example. The whole like just the little spinning top on the desk, and it kind of makes you think, well, was this entire thing fake in a dream or whatever, or was it real? And it makes you question. It leaves you questioning what was real and what wasn't real throughout the film.
But
At
that's
the
so
end.
effective for a film like Inception. It keep like it you never fully know where you're at. But that is like probably when it's used the most effectively.
I feel like I'm in Inception right now. Oh God. Right. I will give an unpopular film opinion. Well, it's not actually my opinion, but my colleague said it to me the other day, and I was like, that's just not normal. And she thinks that Prisoner of Azkaban is the best Harry Potter film. So I think mine would be a popular opinion in that Half-Blood Prince is my favourite. But I just think, really, Azkaban, of all of them, why that one? I'm not
I
saying it's
think
bad, but
Azkaban.
like, why is that your favourite?
Azkaban's decent, but I'd probably say that Goblet of Fire is probably the weakest.
Well, do you know what?
Oh,
It's
interesting.
interesting because she also is like, Goblet of Fire is so bad. What? I love that. That was my favourite when I was growing up, and I'll be waiting on it.
I like Goblet of Fire, but I think out of all of them, it's got one of the like, a lot happens, but also not much happens. But
It is a bit of a
it's
gap
entertaining.
filler.
It's entertaining, but I definitely wouldn't say Prisoner of Azkaban's the best.
No, because I feel in a way Prisoner of Azkaban is one of the maybe less complex films. Like the storyline is very simple and easy to follow. And like, I hate to say it, but it's the one that maybe I forget about the most. And I don't ever like gravitate towards like watching or putting it on as I would more so something like the first one or Order of the Phoenix or Half-Blood Prince or Goblet of Fire.
You know what? Chamber of Secrets, it's the one I rewatched the least.
That's my least favorite as well.
Is it?
Oh,
Oh.
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, don't like that. Don't come for my Hagrid.
Oh my God. Too soon.
Yeah.
Just side note, what is your favorite, Ella? Your favorite?
Maybe Half-Blood Prince, I think. Yeah.
I think Deathly Hallows Part One just
Oh, that is, yeah.
clinches it for
Yeah,
me.
that is, yeah, that is up there. That might be my next favorite.
But I'd probably say Half-Blood Prince is probably second.
Yeah, there's just something about that film. Yeah.
I just
Kind of
think what,
fascinating again, though.
but like, what does Azkaban give us apart from doing the same
Syria.
movie twice? We get Hermione doing a throwing a punch.
Yeah.
So we
I
get
guess you get
Syria.
serious, you get Harry kind of getting a
Yeah.
parental figure, but that is very much at the Lord of the
No.
Part, but
You get the Patronus, like, Expecto
yeah.
Patronum
Yeah, you get the Marauder's map.
moment.
You get Lupin for the first time
I
properly.
do
You
like
actually figure out a
Lupin.
lot with like Wormtail.
Yeah.
And you kind of see Snape's involvement a little bit with it all as well, more so than you have before that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess when you
I
unpack
might
it, there's a lot, but I think it's quite easy to forget and it gets overshadowed
Yeah.
by all the others because you're like, oh, they just repeat the second half of the film and the third act.
Yeah, I think actually what is making me realize is just how much I don't like Chamber of Secrets. Well, obviously I enjoy all of them. I enjoy it as a whole, but like Chamber of Secrets, don't want them spiders.
Oh, I'm ready for Ron on Chamber of Secrets. I think I'm intrigued to know how the TV series will, if the TV series will, like, maybe the second book will be the better, like, you know. Quick side note, though. Are they going to do the same thing where they get young actors and watch them grow up, or are they going to get new actors?
Oh,
I don't know. I would
surely
have
if
genuinely
it's the
wondered about this.
same,
Are they
it's
going
the
to do
same.
Stranger Things or The Crown? That's the question. It makes more sense to get younger actors because if you think of if they're doing a series for each year, that will take about a year to film and produce and bring out. So it makes sense time-wise.
We love Daniel, but we don't want another Daniel scenario
No.
where he's
That
a
is true.
decent actor, but he's not the best in the cast.
No, but I think this is the sort of thing where if they are to pick younger actors and take them all the way through, it will be the sort of show that completely just sets them up for life. They would never have to act again if it's as popular as we expect it will be.
I saw an interview with Taika Waititi, and he was like, the key with child actors is you just have to find the child that's personality is most like the character you want them to play.
Yeah,
Which I
Black
think is
Adam
why
crossed the
it's so
line for a
hard with
little
Harry
bit,
Potter.
wasn't it?
So hard with Harry Potter because, like, it gets so dark
Exactly, and you've got to
that
have that acting ability in order to
which you
fail
can't
that.
necessarily find out
No.
in like the first couple of films.
No, you can't, you don't know when they're 12 years old whether they're going to be good at acting or whether they even will want to carry on with it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is it time for another unpopular opinion from you, George?
Yeah.
Yeah. This won't be as impassioned as my Pierce Brosnan one. But I've never understood the hype with Disney with Brave. I thought it was really boring. I really didn't enjoy that film. But I always hear everyone like go mad over it.
Because I really like that film.
What do you like about
Yeah,
it?
I can't lie, I don't really like it either.
I think a big part for me is how the film looks and feels, as opposed to the story. I think the look and the feel of the film is very separate to the story. Because when you just look at the story by itself, there's nothing completely groundbreaking going on. There's nothing you haven't really seen before. It's kind of mixing lots of old things into one. But I think it's more about what I love about it is the vibe of the
Yeah.
film. And it was one of the earlier Disney films that took on that new animation style. And I think they do such a good job of that. Like, even if you just look at the clips of the horse throughout the film, like, they are just so beautiful in the way that moves. I think it just is a beautiful looking film
Yeah.
that makes it quite fun to watch.
I mean, I remember I did love when she like shoots the like the arrow like into the apple and
Yeah.
like it's cool. And I haven't watched it for a long time because I didn't enjoy it, but maybe I should re-watch it for the visual aspect. But I mean, I've never been like a big into Disney. Like I enjoy Disney, but I'm not an
Yeah, I'm the
obsessive.
same.
So I usually watch the stuff that comes out and I usually like vaguely enjoy it or really enjoy it or whatever. But Brave, I just could not get into it, which is weird because it has all of my favorite things, which
Yeah,
is
there's
like
often point
medieval vibes.
I do wonder whether at points it feels that the story feels a little bit juvenile. I don't know if that's a bit harsh to
I mean,
say.
is it just basically King Lear? I can't actually remember what happened.
Kind of, because like there's a witch and her brothers get turned into bears, and then so does her mum, and there's like
Oh.
a big kind of like a mother-daughter falling out but then rebonding moment. It's very much like a rebellious teenage daughter being like, no, you don't have to marry me off. I'm okay. I'm strong as I am. Rule after you and whatever. There's witches, there's will o' the wisps, there's bears, horses.
The main thing I remember is bears and people going metal.
The way they say murder in their Scottish accents is very fun.
So yeah, that's my but I've always been struck by how much good things I see about it and how strongly I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Ella, what is your next unpopular opinion?
I was talking to my dad to try and come up with some. And one that we came up with is that Wolf of Wall Street is not a good film.
Oh, okay.
It's
Interesting.
boring. It feels like nothing really happens. And I don't see what the obsession so many people have with this film is. Like,
Yeah,
is
true.
it just Margot Robbie and Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that people's obsession? What is it? I would love someone to explain to me why it's such a highly regarded film, because I just don't see it. I
Yeah.
don't know if you two have any thoughts.
I don't know because it. I agree. Is it just because it's a Leonardo DiCaprio film? But then again, he's in that other what's it, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with Margot Robbie, and people aren't obsessed with that. So what is it?
I have to admit, I've never watched it the whole way through, but I think part of it seems to be like a cult film for men.
Yeah,
And I think
definitely.
in the same way as like The Godfather, like how they comment on that on like in
Yeah.
Barbie, like I feel like because it's this just like brooding surge of toxic masculinity, like
Is
and
that
it's
what it
like
is? Is that the attraction?
it must be.
I think it's just like a magnetic draw to a certain
Yeah.
like type of man. Like I don't feel like it's a film for women.
Do you know what? I've never had a woman say to me it's one of her favourite films, but I've had genuinely like at least like more than five men have said to me it's their favourite film.
I just feel like it's such an unoriginal answer. Like, I just don't think,
I
because a
think
lot of
now
cult films, I see why they're cult classics. I see why they've got such following. But with this one, I just don't.
I've now
Yeah.
realised this is a red flag.
I think it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the
I
same.
saw a guy on the train on the way back from Exeter last month, and he was watching it on the train, and I was just a bit
Oh, not on the train.
like, yeah, that was a double red flag. But I mean, I have to watch it all the way through to truly pass judgment. But
Yeah.
from the clips I've seen, from the vibes, from the discussions, yeah. That's that. I as you say, Carrie, I've yet to meet a woman who
Yeah,
has
same.
gone, oh yeah, that is quality film.
Yeah.
There's another film that I have the same opinion on that I'm just going to quickly throw in before
Oh
Carrie says
yeah.
the last one. Mad Max Fury Road. In my opinion, that is a film made by teenage boys for teenage boys. I don't get it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't
How's
really know
that?
anything about it. Like, it's not something that's targeted at us, so I can't really comment. But it sounds, yeah,
I
about
am
right.
aware of the Mad Max world and have seen stuff from it, but I've never seen a full film. But I totally get how it could be categorized in the same way.
Yeah, it's just them racing across a desert, it feels like, for the entire film, being like, oh, look, my car is faster and louder than your car.
It's like
I mean, there's more
hyper-masculinity.
to it than that, but that's what it feels like when you're watching
Yeah.
it. So, yeah.
I'd be fascinated if you ever need any idea for the future for films that you think is like very strictly or like strongly like just like that have a specific male audience, have a specific female audience. I don't
Because
know.
do
I
you
don't know
think
if there's an
that's
idea in there, but
yeah, because like what do you think is the female version of Wolf of Wall Street?
probably Barbie, because some men just won't accept. I don't
But
know. That's a good question.
I feel like with something like Barbie, I feel like there's a bit more to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
Yeah.
you can't have a toxic
Toxic
feminine
femininity.
film.
Because we live in patriarchal society, you can't really have
Yeah.
toxic feminine. That's not
But
even a
obviously,
thing.
there are films that appeal more to women, like just the whole rom-com genre,
Yeah.
but can't think of any that are really, I don't know.
There's nothing that it doesn't feel like there's a film that has that like toxic, hyper feminine environment because it would just get slated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that says something very interesting about society as a whole.
Because
Yeah.
Barbie was not even, as you say, it was more complicated than that, but it got reduced
Yeah.
by people, some
Yeah.
people as that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Here's all of this.
the only film I can think of is The Other Woman, but I don't like only because it's about three women coming together to take down this one guy that they're all dating. But then again, he is a scumbag.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ponder on that question.
What's another unpopular film opinion from you, Carrie?
I think The Notebook is actually a really bad film, and I think in its place people should enjoy Something Borrowed. I think that's a way better rom-com. Like, I don't understand why it's so underrated, whereas everyone's obsessed with The Notebook when it's not. It's just like, what, why do you like The Notebook?
I think I'm a sucker for a film that makes me cry. And I think the feels in that entire film are incredible. I love the kind of the placing it in the 40s, 50s kind of thing. I think that works. And I think it's one of these rare love stories where you see the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah.
So it feels very finished and complete. Because yeah, of course you miss out on that big section of that like married life, living together and whatever, but you see echoes of it in how they are as an old couple together and when their children come to visit them as well. And I think it gives you a nice overarching, beautiful love story that I think leaves you, even though it's sad, it leaves you kind of believing in love, if that makes sense.
But at the same time,
Yeah.
does it not just stress you out? And is it actually love? Because she's horrible to him. Like, do you actually believe in them being
Always.
together? Like, I just don't, you just don't want them to get together, and it just stresses you out.
I don't feel that when I'm watching it.
Really?
Yeah, because it's almost like you go into it knowing they're going to end up together, even if at the beginning you don't clock that the old couple is them.
This is when I say I've never watched The Notebook, so I can't defend either of you.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd like it.
And I think maybe also it's one of those that because I watched it from being quite a young teenager, like it's been one of those kind of always there kind of rom-com films. I
What
wouldn't
do you
even call
think
it a rom-com. I
makes
don't think there's much com in it.
what do you think makes something borrowed better than The Notebook then?
Yeah, tell me that.
Because, like, you don't feel stressed out watching it. Like, they have their conflicts,
Yeah, but do you not feel stressed out
but
about the fact that she's trying to steal her friend's fiance? That stresses me out watching it.
is that where there's something borrowed from?
Yeah, it's not.
Feels like a
It's not
long
heavy,
fray.
but it's just. I like that. I think there's light and shade in it, whereas there's just shade in The Notebook. And I think when you want to watch a romantic film, and that's not what I'm here for. It's something borrowed. It's got that dance routine in it. It's got actual connection. It's got chemistry. People are going to be watching that. Like, it's just so watchable. I think with The Notebook, you can only watch it once, and then you're like. But with something borrowed, you can just watch it loads. And it's just lovely New York vibes. You know, it's got Kate Hudson in it. Yeah.
Should have known that New York was going to be involved.
But I totally get what you're saying about the Something Borrowed versus The Notebook, because The Notebook is an emotional, gut-wrenching film in the way that Something Borrowed and a lot of other rom-coms aren't.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether
Is
that puts people off because it's
it?
very typical Nicholas Sparks makes you cry your eyes out sort of
Yeah.
thing.
Well, see, I love The Longest Ride. That's Nicholas Sparks, right? Yeah. But I think it's too long and it's a bit boring. And it's kind of like Forrest Gump if Forrest Gump, like the romance was bigger with him and Jenny.
That's fair. Should we finish off by just saying but not elaborating on another unpopular film opinion?
I have two left.
Yes, just
I can
tell us
just,
to them,
yeah, go
tell
on, just
them to
say.
us rather.
Okay. So I have unpopular brackets, scenes with Ella specifically. New Moon is terrible.
Here we go again.
We're not expanding on it, so that's fine. And then my final one was people like to complain about The Hobbit, but it's actually really good.
Who complains about it?
A lot of people complain about it.
A lot of like diehard Lord of the
Right.
Rings fans think the Hobbit trilogy is trash, and I completely disagree.
Thank you. We've reconciled on that point.
Yes, we have. One of our
People just love to
Instagram,
knock it. People love to complain about it
they
and say,
should.
oh, it's too long, but
No.
I don't know. I love.
Is the Lord of the Rings trilogy is longer?
Yeah.
Each of
See,
those films is
people have such
individually
short-term
longer.
memory loss.
Anyway,
So,
on
yeah, they are my two other
yeah.
film opinions.
One of our Instagram followers said James Cameron films are terrible, i.e. Avatar, Titanic, Terminator.
Oh, Let me just get up some James Cameron films.
And another one
Well,
is,
Titanic and Avatar. Yeah, I
yeah.
just want to look at the
Oh,
other.
Titanic is so good.
Terminator is so good. I'd probably say that Avatar's overrated.
To be fair, same, but I never made it that far through.
I think at the time when it came out in like 2012 or whenever it was, I think it was groundbreaking in its use of visual effects and things like that. But I think when you look deep down the story, it's just Americans being American. That's my hot take.
Fair enough.
I think that's a very piping hot take.
Another one is that when Leonardo DiCaprio was young, he could not act.
What, who said that? Who, what, you think that?
Kind of a little bit. I think he matured into being a very good actor.
Interesting. I
Interesting.
don't really know, because, well, how young?
Like, I think even with I caught a bit of Romeo and Juliet the other day. I mean, that entire film is just bonkers. I think even in Titanic, I don't think there's much acting from him. I think Kate Winslet carries that film.
Hmm.
But like his later stuff, like him in Tarantino films, fab. The Beach, he was getting better. That was quite good. Revenant, obviously.
I also think some people sleep on Tom Cruise's acting ability. I think his acting is sometimes overlooked by his stunts, which is kind of understandable. I do think he's got quite a lot of range. Like,
Yeah.
I guess not technically in genre, but like emotionally, I think he's some people sleep on him.
Yeah. What are your final unpopular opinions, Carrie?
I was just gonna say about Avatar, to be fair. Otherwise, I don't really know. Let me look at my film things. Well, I'll say with Wes Anderson, love him, but I think that Asteroid City wasn't very good, and the middle story of French Dispatch also wasn't good.
The middle story of French Dispatch is just,
Yeah.
I think it kind of, I found it interesting how the critics really enjoyed Asteroid City, but it had much more of a mixed review by like fans.
I always find that really interesting, those films that completely divide the critics and the audience, because you often see it, because there's quite a lot of them that the critics will just absolutely either absolutely slam, but the audience love it, or vice versa. The critics will absolutely love it because of whatever kind of, I don't know, and then the audience will just not get it. And then
Yeah,
it's a special
true.
kind of category of films. I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's the same as with a lot of the films that win Oscars, where the critics love it, but then I'm like,
Interesting.
Also, my laptop's about to die.
Well,
No.
good job we finished recording. So thank you, George, for joining us.
Thank you
Thank
for having me.
you. Right, and see you with another extra bro very soon.
Thanks for listening to Tea O'Clock with Keller.
Join us next time for more.